"What will this child be?" they asked of the newborn baby that we know as St. John the Baptist. This was a miraculous birth. Zachariah and Elizabeth were elderly. They were thought to be barren. Yet Zachariah is the one who answers that question. He gives the name John, which means Yahweh is gracious. And then holding the little child in his own arms, if we read further in the gospel, he proclaims, "You, my child, will be the prophet of the Most High, for you will go to perform his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins." In God's plan, John was marked as that last great prophet who would prepare the way for the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose cross and resurrection we have been redeemed. The Catechism highlights the role of St. John. We read, "John surpasses all the prophets, of whom his is the last. He goes before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. He is the Lord's immediate precursor or forerunner, sent to prepare his way, who inaugurates the gospel from his mother's womb. He proclaims the imminence of the consolation of Israel. He is the voice of the consoler who is coming. With John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration to man of the divine likeness." So it's for good reason that since the earliest days of the church, this day has been declared a solemnity. So much so that it bumps the regular Sunday cycle of ordinary time. Well, with that, we focus on what does that mean to be a prophet? Well, Isaiah answered that in our first passage. A prophet is a light, a beacon, shining through the darkness of this world, showing all the way that leads to God, marking that path so that one can truly walk humbly with the Lord. The prophet is the one who is like the cutting-edge sword that can divide sharply between good and evil, between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong, between righteousness and sin. The prophet is the one who's like the silver arrow that can pierce the hardest of hearts, cracking it so that it can be filled again with the life of God. In a way, like a hypodermic needle can be that injection of saving medicine to give and restore health. And so that's the role of the prophet, and this was John's role too. And although he proclaims the message, repent, reform your lives, the Messiah has come. To be the prophet, though, as John was, no easy task, because while he had to proclaim God's word, he also had to confront hypocrisy. Remember in the passages where John's baptizing in the desert, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to sort of put on a show, saying, yeah, we'll get baptized too. And John says, you need to really repent, you brood of vipers. He hits them right between the eyes in a charitable way. He also has to confront the sinner with love to bring that sinner back to repentance. So, for instance, after our Lord starts his public ministry, John fades away. But we find him then confronting King Herod Antipas, the son of the wicked King Herod of Christmas. Herod Antipas had cast off his wife and married Herodias, who had left her husband, Herod's brother, Philip. They lived in adultery. And here, John says, how can this be? You're supposed to be the leader of the Jewish people, and you're living in adultery. Repent. For this, he was thrown into the dungeon. Then through the machinations of Herodias, he was martyred, beheaded. And so St. John the prophet truly was one who prepared the way of the Lord. He was that light, that cutting-edge sword, that arrow. Now, we celebrate this solemnity with great festivity, and notice that we celebrate his natural birth, but there's also a feast day that celebrates his martyrdom, his birth into heaven. Also, just as a liturgical aside, think of the dating here. March 25th is the Feast of the Annunciation, when Archangel Gabriel appeared to our Blessed Mother to tell her that she had been chosen to be the mother of Jesus. At that time, Gabriel also said, "Your cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant with the prophet who's going to prepare the way." Well, 3 months have now passed, so now we're at June 24th. And when we think of it now, 6 months from now, we'll have Christmas, December 25th. So it works together. Also keep in mind, St. John said in preparing the way for Jesus, "I must decrease, he must increase." So we've just marked the longest period of daylight in our calendar year. From this point on, light slowly decreases until Christmas, when Jesus is born. Just a wonderful aside. But the challenge for us today, as we celebrate this feast, is to remember you and I take on that role of being a prophet. When we were baptized by the power of the Holy Trinity and the pouring of water, we were recreated. We were given a new birth, a new life, a life of sanctifying grace. We were incorporated into the body of the church. Right after that baptism, the priest also anointed us with holy chrism. Chrism is a blessed oil that goes back to the Old Testament times that was used to anoint the priests, prophets, and kings of the Jewish people, showing that God had called that person to a very special role of leadership and would empower that person with the strength needed to fulfill the role. Jesus is priest, prophet, and king. So through our baptism, we're called to share in his work as priest to sanctify, as prophet to teach, as king to rule and guide. So right after that baptism, the priest made the sign of the cross with holy chrism on our head, and he said that as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life. That chrism also reminds us of the sacred seal on our soul. Just like oil on a garment leaves like a permanent stain, baptism and confirmation, both using chrism, show we have a sacred seal, a character. We're identified as a Christian, a member of the church. Also, chrism's perfumed. So it reminds us we're called to smell differently in this world. Not smell like a pagan. We're called to smell like a Christian and to bring about that odor of Christ's presence in our lives. Now, my brothers and sisters, that means that we're called to be that light. That light that shines through the darkness to show the path of God's way of life through this life to everlasting life. We are called to be that sharp-edged sword that cuts between truth and falsehood, good and evil, righteousness and sin. We're called to be that arrow that pierces with love the hearts, the most hardened hearts, to bring them back to life in the Lord. Not an easy task. So just think of this past week. We've heard two very sad situations. First, we heard of Cardinal McCarrick. An accusation was brought up against him. Many accusations. Yes, everyone's entitled to a fair trial, fair investigation, and so on. But if so, the role of the prophet is to say, "You have sinned. Repent." We are called to hold people accountable and to hold people in leadership roles who sadly may have covered up things accountable too. That's the role of the prophet, and that's what St. John did. And so even though it hurts to have all these things exposed, nevertheless, That's the light. That's the sword. That's the arrow. We've heard much this week, too, about the whole immigration border and so on. And I'm not going to get into all those things because we don't know the whole story. But always keep in mind basic truth principles by which we are the prophets. One, people do have human dignity, and we respect that. Family life is sacred. At the same time, countries have the right to secure borders, to establish laws, to enforce those laws. We have the duty to hold our representatives accountable who make those laws, who have failed to bring about good reform, and some of them, including in our own state, simply have voted no for the past 2 years to everything. Yes, we should hold them accountable for helping create this mess. So be it. We also, though, need to remember that while the news media focuses on these children and families crossing the border, who listens to the unborn child? Who hears their cry in our country today? Where are all those legislators proclaiming the sanctity of life from the beginning? Think of our scripture passages today. What does Isaiah say? The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, he gave me my name. In the psalm, we prayed, for it was you, Lord, who formed my inmost being, knit me together in my mother's womb. In this passage of John the Baptist, don't we remember that when our Blessed Mother was pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth pregnant with John, they encountered at the visitation, and there's this leaping of joy. Would we say that either Jesus or St. John were not humans at that point, not persons? God, help us. So the prophet has to say, let's have a consistency of respecting life from that moment of conception to that moment of natural death. My brothers and sisters, it's not easy to play the role of the prophet. John was martyred. But go back to that question. What will this child be? Well, when we face judgment, that's not the question we're going to hear. The question from our Lord will be, what have you become? Have you been the good witness to me? May God bless you. Thank you.